The topic we're about to discuss may cause issues for some of you. So just a reminder that you can call Beyond Blue at any time on 1300 224 636 or Lifeline on 13 11 14. Each year in Australia, more than 3,000 people end their lives and many more self-harm, and most are male. In fact, 6 men take their lives every day. And new research out today reveals that's the tip of the iceberg. In a world first, a national study backed by Beyond Blue and Movember has investigated ambulance call-outs to men presenting with acute mental health issues, self-harm, or suicidal behaviour. It's found that suicidal behaviour among men could be up to 3 times higher than what current hospital data suggests. Georgie Harmon is the CEO of Beyond Blue, and Luke Richards is a Beyond Blue speaker who openly talks about his experiences with attempted suicide. Welcome to you both.
Good morning, Hamish.
Good morning, Hamish.
And before we continue, just a reminder, if this does cause any issues for you at home or in the car, wherever you are, do get in touch with Lifeline or Beyond Blue. Georgie Harmon, can I just start with you? Can you explain this report? How is it conducted? What did it find?
Look, this is a really important and, in fact, world-first surveillance data. So what the fantastic team led by Professor Dan Lubman at Monash University and Turning Point in Victoria did was they worked with 6 states who shared their ambulance data with that team. And what they did is they coded very carefully that ambulance data, and they found, as you said in your introduction, that around 30,000 ambulances are called out to men because those men have just tried to take their lives or they're seriously thinking about it. That's 82 ambulances a day.
Given this discrepancy in the data, does that lead you to conclude that we need to do something else about addressing the problem?
Look, we need to do a whole range of things, and there are some signs of good movement in this area. So the Commonwealth has committed some money, $15 million, for a national surveillance system of suicide data around Australia, which will coordinate and collect in far more real time than we've got currently. Suicide data from a range of sources. So that's a really positive development. But we also need to do 2 other things, and this is what this research is absolutely pointing to. We need to make sure that our fantastic paramedics have the skills, are trained, and feel confident dealing with people, men and women, who are in suicidal crisis. And they need alternative places to take those people to when they are in suicidal crisis. At the moment, normally all roads lead to emergency departments, and emergency departments are stressful, hectic, really busy places. They're scary places for all of us. And if you're in a suicidal crisis, they are incredibly distressing. In fact, they often escalate the distress that people are feeling. So we need alternative spaces and places in the community that are staffed by a whole range of people, including peer workers, who can actually have the time to sit, listen, and talk and connect people to services and support.
Luke Richards, the findings in this report must resonate with you in a very personal way.
No, absolutely. I think I'm a living example that proves the stats true. If I was measured statistically, I would have only presented to ED once. Yet my number of attempts far exceeded that number.
And tell me, you obviously had a string of suicide attempts over the years. When you reflect on the data that you're seeing now, and obviously this sort of indication that there are a lot of men presenting beyond what the official statistics have indicated, does that surprise you?
No, not at all. I think that it took me a long time to be in a position to get the care that I needed and to talk the way that I needed to get the help that I needed. So that's one thing. And then I suppose when I presented to my last attempt in 2012, my experience in the hospital at that time just resonates what Georgie said earlier, that there's a need, and there definitely needs to be a different way of solving this problem.
When you are an individual and you are in such distressing circumstances, what, from your experience, are the real barriers to being able to take the steps to reach out for help?
Yeah, I think shame is definitely one thing that plays over and over for me, and just a fear of how I will be judged. You know, I was really lucky that the paramedics that turned up that day to help me were amazing. You know, they showed me such care. But when I got to the hospital, it was a bit of a different experience, unfortunately. And when you're in that state, you know, you are terrified of everything. You're terrified what's going to happen to you, where you're going to be. You're terrified at what you've just done to yourself. And so you need to be wrapped up in cotton wool.
I suppose that's testament to the brilliant AMBOs right across Australia. What was it about their approach for you, Luke, that made such a difference?
I think they really they didn't make it about what had just gone on. They made it about me and what was sort of going on for me. They talked to me about what was going on, and they acknowledged that what I was going through was must be really hard. And I think in people acknowledging that for you in an empathetic way is a huge, huge step towards being able to share these things and overcome them.
I'm conscious of this being, you know, very obviously very difficult for you to talk about, and we're so grateful to you for agreeing and wanting to do this morning. In terms of the experience at the hospital, how was that different?
Well, I suppose when I got there, my attempt was attached to an issue, an ongoing issue I had with addiction, and so when I got to the hospital, I felt that was where the care stopped. I was literally bundled off to the side of a corridor and lay on a gurney for 14 hours with not another human being coming to talk to me over that point in time. And by the time I finally got to see someone from the CAT team, all I wanted to do was get out. And I told them whatever I needed to tell them so that they would let me go. And then eventually I had no phone, I didn't have my wallet. They just went, okay, off you go, and they bundled me off to the world to find my own way back to my home and wherever else I was. And after that, less than 24 hours after I'd just tried to take my own life.
I know everyone listening this morning, Luke, will want to know, how are you doing today?
Oh, it's amazing. I get a bit emotional when I talk about these things, but it's only because I can't believe that my life 7 years ago was so different to what it is today. You know, I have in my recovery has blessed me with a wife and two beautiful boys.
Luke, really appreciate you agreeing to talk to us this morning. Georgie Harmon as well. Thank you very much for your insights. And I suppose we've all just heard the most stunning example of why it is so important to get this right.
Thanks, Hamish, and good on you, Luke.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Georgie Harmon is the CEO of Beyond Blue. Luke Richards is a Beyond Blue speaker. If this conversation has raised any issues for you, you can call Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or Lifeline on 13 11 14.